You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Step right in, folks. We're opening up the China Shop today, busting those doors open wide. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. As with me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing good. I'm huddled in fear. There's a bit of a storm raging all around me, so we'll see if I can make it through this entire episode.
All right. All right. Do you have any kind of special extra insurance stuff if you die? Does the China Shop get any money?
No, but I haven't given my wife the passwords to all my stock market accounts, so that
okay,
should
Okay, so I'm rooting for you to live. I'm now rooting for you to live.
I want to make sure she does too.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah, I guess she has to. If it's one or the other.
Right.
we got amazing, extra awesome episode for you today. We are joined here at the China Shop by the guys from the BHH cast.
It's Ba-cast.
Wait, the Ba-cast?
It's phonetic. Yeah.
Oh my God. Are they farmers? What? What's
I don't
the,
think
the
so.
I have a shepherd.
Yeah. Okay.
A shepherd. And there we are.
And here we are. Hey, everybody here. Look who's in the China Shop.
Dang.
It's us.
If you break it, you buy it.
Yeah, guys, if the three of us came into the China Shop, from the moment we come in there, you're eyeballing Adam.
Yeah.
Like, you're keeping your eye on Adam.
You're just like,
he's breaking something.
Hey, big looking one.
Oh, he's first. Yeah, clearly first bull in.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you guys introduce yourselves real quick so our listeners know who's who when they're talking. Don't all start at once.
I'm Jamie.
No, I'm Jamie.
You're the other Jamie.
And then he's the other Jamie.
I'm Jamie,
yeah.
Jamie Bendel.
The
I am the B in Bacast.
That makes so much more sense.
Jamie Hernan.
No, I'm the end. So go ahead. Don't jump the gun. You're the middle. You're the hump. Let's
go. We've talked about this. I'm the last.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm the second H. I'm Jamie Hernan.
And I'm Adam Haig, who is the third H. Second H.
So that's why we have the Ba cast is the BHH cast.
That's us.
Which our market research people have told us it's an excellent way to name your podcast in something that gives no clue as to what the podcast is about.
Right.
But allows people to have a sense of belonging because they can say, oh, I'm one of the sheep.
Yeah.
Right. The sheep are our listeners. The they're part of the flock. We're the shepherds.
Yeah. That's right.
I feel like I should have been able to put that together.
I launched a new business during your intro where I claim lost password stock market accounts.
No, that's actually, I was thinking about that too as I heard your intro. I was thinking this is going to be another like crypto story where like no one has the code word or whatever, the long series of code words to get access to the account, and the money will just be gone.
No, I'm splitting the money 50-50 with whoever identifies the lost account for me.
Okay. Do you think there are spouses that are just they're grieving their lost spouse until they find out what they were investing in, and they're like, "What the hell was he doing?"
Right, exactly.
What the hell was he thinking?
Yeah.
If I had known this is how he was investing our money, I would have killed him.
I would have killed him
long ago.
Yeah. I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah, thank goodness it was just a heart attack. Or I would have murdered him.
Or does maybe that take the sting off of it? You find out that he bought a lot of AMC when it was $1 a share.
Right. I loved him, but yeah, it was a difficult
I'm much
move.
More fonder. I'm a slightly less grieving widow.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that NIO, that NEO to pay off, right? Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've been in and out of that one a few times.
Yeah.
Adam pushed AMC on Bendel and me and on the Jamies very hard.
Yeah. It was a fun ride. For
When was he pushing it, though?
At all stages.
Like season three.
Okay. Yeah. Was he pre or post $10 a share?
I think we were right about
it. It was a little pre. It was a little post.
It was a little pre. The idea was, if we can, it was probably, it was part of the ride. If you'd gotten off at the right time, we would have been really wealthy, but we, you know, no one did.
We kept asking him when he was going to get out. And he kept saying, I'll never sell, but the echo kept getting larger and like heavier and heavier.
Lonely and lonelier.
Here's what I've learned. If you wait to trade on the advice by the time the episode has published, you are very behind.
That's trouble, Matt.
Yes.
Especially for those Wall Street betmen.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys can go.
Yeah, sorry.
Awesome. No, this is great. I feel like I'm just listening to your episode, though.
Be careful. Yeah, we will take over.
That is the most polite shut up I've ever heard. Possible.
We're in the middle of trying to do a show here. Is there any way that you could? Yeah.
Well, I want to hear. He asked us to be quiet, and we just started talking. Back over.
Are you guys still in AMC, or did you guys get out yet?
What's that?
Are you guys still invested in AMC, or did you guys get out yet?
Oh, I'm still holding. Baby.
Goddamn right.
Who gets to the moon on the first try?
Yeah, assholes sell. They all hold.
Right? Virgin Galactic sure didn't.
No, right? Exactly. That's right. So, I'm holding that. Still holding some GMT.
I still got my GME. I sold some of it off.
Is that what you meant, Adam, when you kept saying I'm not a virgin?
Yeah.
Hey, here's the good news. We should maybe create a rule for this episode where we're doing this that you should identify yourself as the other Jamie before you say something, so it'll help them edit that out.
Yeah, because it's just whenever you say something stupid.
Going on, right?
And you ruin the flow. Yeah, like you just did with the whole virgin thing.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right, how about just everyone says their name before they talk?
I think that makes sense.
That gets really confusing because you think you're calling out.
Dan here. I haven't been listening.
My kind of guy.
Oh, God. Okay, so tell us about your guys' investment backgrounds, then. It sounds like you guys are doing a little bit with the AMC. You guys dabble in anything else? Or
so I've definitely an over... what I try and do is keep like some fun money, right, on the side. So I have the lion's share in like the old school index funds and you know, the slow growers, if you will. Right. And then I've kind of, you know, then you take some side money and you try and figure out ways to make that grow a little bit faster. Right.
Yep.
And you know, 10 times I invest in, you know, 25 stocks and one of them will go to the moon, but you know, and then, or crypto, and then one of them, and then some of them, but nine won't, but you just hope that the one goes far enough to make up for the nine so that your overall gain is good enough.
In the fun money side of the equation.
In the fun money side, yeah.
What about the dumb money side?
How are you a financial advisor if that's your pitch?
Well, no, I mean, my point is that, like, I think it is fun to invest in things. And it's fun right now where we're living in a world where crypto is...
Hold on a second. Are you saying your pitch to a potential investor is to say, so here's the deal. I'm going to have some fun with your money.
No. This is my money. I don't want to
play with other people's money. What gets me up in the morning is to figure out, like, hypothetically, if I was to put myself in some other random dude's shoes, like, what would I do with the fun money?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that for you.
I would struggle investing with other people's money because I do think I make, you know, fairly dumb.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. There'd be a fun phone call. Hey, I lost 50%, but man, it was a lot of fun.
Right.
You would not have believed what you were saying about your money in the office. I made the call.
It was a roller coaster.
And we were up. I was like, I got to call this dude. And we were down. I was like, do not pass him through.
Yeah.
It's like that South Park. And it's gone.
And it would disappear.
And right now, I mean, like, with the fun money side, you have so many, like, socials that are kind of influencing it now. And my 16-year-old son will be like, yeah, TikTok's blowing up about this thing. Right, or he's like, there's so much talk about this on TikTok right now.
For example, I just went big into milk crates. Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm crazy on milk crates.
Not everybody sees a milk crate opportunity like I see. I am so heavy in dairy right now.
No, it's true. Like when you think about vinyl and how big vinyl is right now, where do you put the vinyl? In milk crates. Boom, Dad. Milk crates are the future. Yeah,
or you stack them in your front yard and you make the funny video where you fall over.
My son though did put me on actually all three of those as I think about it, like GameStop, AMC, and Neo.
And Neo.
All of us.
You may not have heard of this conversation that Adam does not have TikTok.
I don't either. I think Dan's our TikTok guy.
I don't usually open the app very often though. It bombards me with random chaos.
Right. what really worries me is that it actually has figured me out very well. You know, it's figured out my profile like they say it does very well. And this is who I am, right? My fear is the videos that come up. I'm like, oh my God.
We have described you accurately.
Is this really who I am?
That's for those of you listeners that are on TikTok, Jamie's joke just killed.
Yeah.
Should I get my daughter?
I didn't need the clarification. And the people who are familiar with it are also laughing at it.
Yeah.
We're all good.
Yeah. Remember when we said you can just cut whenever that one voice comes up?
Yeah, that's another great example.
There you go.
That's a perfect. And we're told, because neither Adam and I edit the episodes.
Yes.
That Jamie edits mostly by looking for the flattest lines on the editing software. And those are the places where.
Yeah, it's good.
I think that's how I do it.
Yeah. Clearly, there's nothing going on here. Let's just pull them.
Have you guys looked into NFTs or crypto at all?
We've tried. We've had on so many guests that want to talk about crypto. And our main question for those guys is, what was the question? What is it?
What is it?
Right.
What is it? What does it do? Why is it valuable?
Yeah.
And I've yet to get an answer that really clicks in my head.
For me, it does seem like it is basically a money launderer's fantasy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. But I get the impression that there's so much money out there that needed to be laundered that crypto is being completely supported by probably nefarious. And then, in addition to that, the Elon Musk of the world that can throw a billion at it and not blink. But it is.
Did Elon actually ever invest in it though? I thought he just threw a tweet out there.
You don't know, right? Yeah. Or the Dogecoin thing it is interesting. I do think though it is a money laundering scheme that has become somehow legitimized. Maybe.
All right. So if you were given the opportunity to move a market with a tweet, would you do it?
Of course.
Well, yeah. I definitely would.
Is that a question? Can we clarify who asked that question?
No, that's a good question. I think, at some point, though, you are...
Well, you're talking about Elon, right? Did he actually do it or not?
He's moved to a few different markets.
Yeah, right? But isn't that an interest? So nobody ever says, what's your superpower? Yeah. Nobody ever answers, I want to be able to move markets.
Yeah.
But he does it in the weirdest way, too, though. Sure. He doesn't just pump his stock. I think he tanked Tesla at one point when he said it was overvalued.
Yeah.
What CEO does that?
Isn't that the ultimate flex? To be like, I can crush my company. I don't care. Coming right back.
Yeah, my company's overvalued. You should all start selling your shares now. Bullshit. Yeah.
I'm
pretty sure he said, hold my beer before he did that.
Well, what I like about Elon and how he's...
Move back to where it should be.
Oh, it's probably overinflated again.
Did you just apologize to him for interrupting you?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, but you're right.
I wasn't interrupting him.
You're right. It's now probably overinflated again. Yeah. Right. But I do think that when Elon first took that thing public, you got the impression that nobody hated his investors more than he did. Like he despised, he despised those public, when he did the quarterly calls and, it was venomous. He was so angry at them. And he was basically like, if you don't get straight, I'm going to take this thing private again. I'm going to go out and just buy all my shares back and screw you, which drives up the price because everyone's like, oh, Elon says he might just buy us all back up. So,
but I just feel like there are certain times and I'm going to self acknowledge that I may be the least sophisticated investor participating in the conversation. My impression is every time he gets bored, he's like, I'm going to create a company that makes rocket powered bicycles. And everybody's like, that's a great idea. And he just hoovers up random money to turn the ideas of 5-year-olds into reality.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Well, there definitely is a cult of Elon out there. I don't think anyone would argue with that.
No, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The idea of being the cult of, he says some, you know, five-year-old dream, the cult of Elon follows.
Yeah, I'm going to invent and, subways and that go one cult, person at a time.
But enough of the cult of Elon follows, which brings in money, which suddenly we have market movement, which now brings in the bigger bulls, you know, which then, you know, now there's real money behind it. And now you have, you know, a $3 billion company that can go out and figure out the, hire the best people in the world to make that rocket-powered bike.
Right? For which, yeah.
So there was no reason in the company, but it all kind of becomes a self-fulfilling thing.
No, so which brings me back to the idea that if you were going to say, I want a superpower,
yeah,
that nice. Would be an achievable superpower.
Yes.
Right? So most people think like, oh, I can never, you know, do invisibility or laser vision.
We have taken over these guys' show.
Okay. No. Wait a minute. I want to go back to the superpower question.
Yeah.
Because I think pretty much every superpower has major drawbacks. Invisibility, because light works with your eyeballs, you wouldn't be able to see anything, right? Because it just passed right through your retina. So if you're invisible, you'd also be blind.
And I think people already, when you have invisibility, people assume you're a pervert.
let's look at super strength.
Invisibility thing.
Yeah. Okay, but let's finish the thought. Okay, naked. So hold on a second.
If you were super strong, if you had super strength, you'd be the first person everyone called to help them move. So that one's out for me.
Oh, man.
If you could fly, what's to say that you're flying faster than like you can walk or run, right?
Yeah, right.
Like if you're just up in the air moving at like 5 miles an hour.
Wait. Hold on a second. I have never considered the possibility of slow flight.
Right? What a jerk genius.
What makes you think you'd be flying around at 100 miles an hour?
Yeah, I would assume that
there's some velocity that you have to hold.
Well, first of all, all flightless birds should truly be considered pedestrians.
Like the ostrich.
Right.
Not even a real bird.
Well, even there, it's at best like a leaping bird, right? Yeah. Non-flighted. So I assume the fact that you can fly gets you there faster than I can walk.
Yes. Back to your point, though, the downsides of all the superpowers. I think the downside to the superpower of being able to tweet and move markets is sooner or later you get arrested for market manipulation.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Elon Musk's tweets are gone through with a fine-tooth comb by his lawyers now at this point.
Yeah.
I think we've noticed that. What was the company, Dan, that he tweeted about that wasn't publicly traded, but there was a company that was similar to it, and it like shot through the roof?
Oof.
Do you remember that, Dan?
I don't think Dan does remember.
I think Dan flatlined.
He must not, yeah. He seems to be.
Wait, we thought you were going to be the one who died.
Yeah, I thought so.
So I've recently in the NFT world.
Now let's go to your hypothetical horse racing.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. That's my NFT.
Oh, is it Zedrun?
Yeah. So I got Zedrun table. Yeah.
Oh, I want to get into that.
So my theory with the whole thing was at least I get an NFT that I can play with.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and it's a lot of fun because I get to race my horses against other horses. I'm, you know, breeding horses. I'm trying to figure out bloodlines and how the different factors play into the offspring. So there's a lot of data to it. There's a lot of data, you know, kind of deep data to it, which says, okay, if this horse runs this level, you know, this race really well, say 2,200 meter race is right. Its best race. I got to go find a stud, and she's a mare, for example. Go find a stud who also runs that race incredibly well, right? Or who does, and whose parents did the same thing, and then my offspring will just crush that race.
But right? Is it really an NFT, or do you just have a subscription service? It's like a game that you're playing.
No, it's not a subscription service at all. I now own these horses.
I don't think it's an NFT. Like to me, the idea of NFTs is so stupid.
But, what do you mean?
Like someone who pays for a video clip, or someone who pays for, you know, the you know, Charlie bit my finger, something, you know, I don't understand any of that.
Okay.
But I understand the horses. I just don't think, I think it's different than these other NFTs.
The rest of the NFTs to me, I would just feel like overpriced Beanie Babies.
I think there's something there.
Yeah.
Right. And again, does it become self-fulfilling at some point when people are paying ridiculous amounts of money for, you know, these hot shots? And those, you know, baseball ones, as well as, you know, those those ape things. I see like ape.
I'm thinking of creating some NFTs of some of my jokes.
I saw somebody on Twitter post that if you made an NFT that was backed by a diamond and the diamond got destroyed, that the NFT would still maintain its value.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of stupid people on Twitter.
Did Elon Musk?
Exactly. That sounds like Elon Musk.
I don't know how we can call 911 in Arizona, but should someone check on Dan?
I told him to back out and come back in, see if he see if that gets him closer to our orbit.
So I am, I think, still the owner of some Mindspring stock.
You're not.
Is this the company that doesn't exist?
That's maybe a precursor. You're actually the owner of Earthlink stock.
Yeah, I am the owner of Earthlink stock. Yeah, Mindspring turned into Earthlink or whatever.
And you have paper certificates.
And I actually have paper certificates. Right. Although I will tell you, I actually had to make a 529, or not a 529, a withdrawal for some stocks that the kids got when they were young. Uh-huh. And they're like, we need the certificate.
Really?
And I was like, you do?
The kids said that?
Because you got certificates for them?
Apparently we got certificates for them.
Yeah, so normally those certificates are theoretically, you know, held at the broker. Right?
Yeah.
So there aren't really certificates anymore.
I had to do some loss certificates paperwork.
Oh, that's interesting.
Jamie's Googling the certificate to see what it looks like and then going on
trying to
Word
PowerPoint it.
Yeah. It's amazing what they could do at Kinko's. If you just tell them, hey, so listen, my kid has a tuition payment due on Tuesday. Any chance you could work up something that would be a
I think it's basically why they got
late 90s certificate.
Yeah, I tried to present a lot of Amazon stock on a paper certificate.
They were rejected not that. Yeah.
Would that get you, is that a form of like counterfeiting?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely against the law.
Yeah. Come on, Adam. Why would you even say that?
Yeah. No, they
the printer even NFT. Let you do that.
This is the NFT of these they shouldn't. Stocks.
Yeah, exactly.
But they when I was a kid, the Disney certificates had all the Disney characters on them, and like they were like run, you know, all the mouse, and everybody was looking around, and so
the mouse.
The mouse. You can't. It's like saying.
Well, I just don't want to get. I don't want to get royalties.
We got to be very careful.
You know that last Sunday football game.
Yeah.
It's the mouse.
Yeah.
But all the characters were on the certificate. So like my grandparents would send me those stock.
You still have those because those are doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are. I mean, the certificates have now taken away the value of certificates. So you had to turn in your certificates, and then they gave you like. Essentially copy.
You know, I feel like if we could have another pandemic, not that I want there to be another pandemic, but I'd be much more prepared for buying at the dip. Like if I see it coming, I'm right. Like, you know, now I'm,
I didn't everyone think, else will be I as well. Thought that the markets have become immune to pandemic.
Not really.
Didn't Biden say that? Somebody said that. One of the feds or something.
I thought that one of the things, one of the first people to
learn to deal with it.
Was the market.
I don't think you understand.
I thought the market priced in future pandemics already in today's prices.
Maybe now, but they don't do that. They didn't do that. The initial one.
I cannot tell you how many times I searched the price of Carnival Cruise Lines thinking, now's the time.
So, but Kyle, let's talk a little bit about Zedrun.
Yes, please. I want to know
a little
if you're ready to buy a horse.
Yeah. So if you're ready, we can get you a horse.
Yeah.
Cause I'm breeding horses all the time. Mm. And so we can get, we'll work it out after. So OpenSea is where you're going to go to buy the horses. Is kind of generally where it is, but you can
trade on there. Seem like they're pretty expensive, though.
So they can be, So what I would recommend doing there is just kind of finding the
buy the most horse you can afford.
Relax,
right? That's what I would recommend. Whatever you feel like your horse budget is, pretend fictional data horse. You pick one that you like.
Yeah, the only way to get
it'll
any
run
kind
a
of
pretend
like,
race on your phone.
The only way to get any kind of value there is to like actually find a horse with decent parents or parents that haven't run.
Or clever name. And then pick a horse with a clever name.
I was going by the coat color because some of those look really pretty.
Yeah. They run in fictional mud.
So coat color is actually a thing. Like there's a rarity to coat color that actually drives value.
All I know, Kyle, is do not trust Adam when he tries to sell you one of his horses. Because it's going to be the one that has like shingles or whatever the horse disease is.
Just saying there's a minimum amount that you have to pay for the horse because there's essentially a minimum stud fee. But that being said, I can get you a horse to play around with.
Right? Yeah, pretend fun horse.
No, it is a horse to play around with. Yeah, you can enter into races that you can see how it works.
God forbid you drop your phone in a pool and drown your stable of data horses.
Oh my God. Adam sounds so
I don't think
like
you know how the internet works. Yeah. If you think I drop my phone, then all the horses die.
Adam, what happened? I thought you were a big horse racing guy. I'd be like, I dropped my phone.
So have you actually you managed to win any money?
I cracked my phone screen and I had to put down all my horses.
So I've definitely
broke all their fictional legs.
I've definitely spent more money than I've won.
Bendel shoots his phone when he gets it out of the pool.
Yeah. But
that being said,
what happened to your old phone?
Oh my god! You guys stop. We're talking a serious
glue
question over here.
Two pieces of things together.
Adam, the problem is you sound so much like a drug dealer right now.
Listen, yeah, it's a totally manageable habit.
First one for free.
I'll try a little bit of.
I'm just trying to buy some horse over here, guys. Let me get this transaction.
The truth is that some of the horses have won money. Yeah. I mean, so there is an ROI, a positive ROI on some of the horses. Mm-hmm. But that being said, a lot of them are dogs, right? And a lot of the horses aren't, you know, you just have to find kind of dog races to race them in.
And then you really want to do it right. You bring in new people.
Oh my God.
New people to horse racing that are unfamiliar with it. You sell them your dogs.
It's not a pyramid scheme.
You need to get two of them at least.
Yeah, you got to get if you can get a male and a female, which is great, then you can breed it.
Right. Male data, female data. You merge your data.
Yeah, but once you get into this and you have horses to sell, stay off of Peachtree and Piedmont in Atlanta because that's Adam's territory. That's his corner.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, that's all his corner. Right. It's ridiculous. Definitely. Have you ever watched
a wire? I can't deal my horse there.
And horses?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's.
I'm not a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I'm trying to introduce a guy to an NFT series. Yeah. Yeah.
10 years from now, you're going to be watching Data Sopranos, and it's going to be one guy with a bunch of pretend horses at the Bada Bing.
Yeah. Adam's just heading his laptop.
So which one of you three was the one who bought Enron? Or the closest thing to Enron?
I bought MoviePass.
That's what it was.
That's the Helio and Masterson Analytics.
I'd like to hear a little more about this.
Oh, Adam gave me a ton of crap for that one. And I'm a pretty much an amateur investor as well. Mm-hmm. And so when Helio and Masterson Analytics, which was the parent company that bought or owned.
Yeah, did MoviePass.
MoviePass. First of all, I think Adam actually introduced me to MoviePass.
Yeah, it was great.
Because he bought MoviePass, and this was the service where you paid like $9-$10 a month or something. And you could go to as many movies as you want.
It was a Netflix of real movies.
Right. So and Adam was one of the people that destroyed the company because he went repeatedly, you know, like every single day, and he just had his pass and just went to all these movies.
Yeah. I'd go for lunch and just get like, I'd walk in at lunch at my office was near a theater. I'd just walk over, hit it, watch 45 minutes of that movie, come back, watch it tomorrow, get the second half.
But what I recognized was that company was a data company. And so I realized that what they're doing, because they got tens of millions of subscribers or whatever it was, and they were creating this amazing database.
Yeah, big data play. Nice job.
I thought, okay, this is great. So
you heard the term big data, and you were excited because you're like, so I don't know what that is, but apparently people make money at it.
Right. So I decided it was at 21 cents, and I decided I would buy 1,000 shares. How bad can it be? Right? 1,000 shares, 21 cents, $216. No problem.
Big player.
Right. Mm. And so apparently, as there were more and more Adams of the world,
yes,
and the company realized that the data was great, but they were having to actually pay these theaters, and people were basically, they were spending way more money. This wasn't just the Netflix lost leader type of theory. This was way out of control. The stock started just tanking.
Yes.
And I think that they also had a ton of insider folks had just, I mean, they just kept adding billions of shares.
Okay, so hold on a second.
Well, it's
you're telling me that the company had to pay the theater every time Adam went?
Yeah, they worked out a deal with the theaters to pay like a some amount, not the full price, but to pay some amount for the ticket.
Oh, well, that's the setup of the whole company is wrong. You basically say, so? I'm going to send people that are going to come and eat popcorn every day.
Right, that's
the
plan.
And I'm selling you on free bodies.
Right.
I mean, in my business, you're going to paper the room.
That's right.
Right? Adam, it's your birthday. You can come and see free movies all month.
That's what it was. That's what it was. It was so great.
Not I'm going to pay somebody else when you show up for free popcorn.
No. That was the problem.
But I think they
the data was bad.
And they also thought that they would at some point get so big that they could control consumer behavior and they could drive people to see certain movies and that they could sell that. So if a new movie was coming out, they would pay MoviePass to promote that movie.
where they'd say, yeah, you can do a premiere, like a MoviePass premiere, where only MoviePass people get to see it the first week.
If you,
like
that. Right. Yeah. I didn't even know about this company, and I was smart enough not to invest
in it. You actually learned about it, and you still invested.
And you still invested in it.
Okay, so,
and I'm glad you only lost $216.
Well, wait, he hasn't told us.
Oh, no, there's more.
Possible he didn't lose.
I did lose more. Okay.
Oh, good.
So the company was, it was, things were getting so out of control. They were trying to raise money.
Yeah.
They did a reverse split.
Yeah, shit's hitting the fan.
Right. So they do a reverse split, and the great thing about it was I paid more in fees because they did that reverse split than my stock was worth at that point.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mm.
Did you buy more?
So I paid it. Yes, I did. So I paid a...
Yeah, you doubled down.
Yeah, did you buy on the dip? You bought on the dip? Definitely
doubled down. No, I bought on so many dips. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I just kept... I was
you
like,
got yourself a big bowl of refillable popcorn.
This is what I did. I had beachfront property. Okay. Yeah. There was a tsunami.
Yes.
And I said, that can't happen again.
No, I'm going to buy all the properties around me.
Right. Yeah. And then another tsunami came.
And you said, there's never been three tsunamis.
There's a third tsunami.
No. And then.
And you didn't think maybe this is a bad place to build a house.
This could be a bad place. And by the way, pandemic has shut all this down.
Right. Yeah.
So I called my broker or trading
company. You used an expensive broker to do it.
I think this is
this is a
let them get to it when they can.
No. I called this is a online company. This is which I actually
you
like.
Called so an online, you have an direct an do on, you have a person that you call at the online company?
Whoever is on the end of the 1-800.
I'm just glad to hear that you weren't using kind of a discount brokerage to make these really, really bad trades. You actually had to pay a high premium.
Right. Was it written by Jordan Belfort?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and just because to make this
this story is turning into like a buy and hold. It's taking so long.
Okay, so I will just end by saying
I'm hodling on. This is good.
At some point, to be able to get out of holding this stock because it had
right
become
now I'm shorting this story.
Yeah,
I'm shorting it heavily right now.
Yeah. I had to pay my broker to buy the stock for me.
Oh,
to get it off my book so I could report the loss.
I'm so sorry.
I do have a couple of holdings in my account that have no value whatsoever that still show up on there, and I have no idea how to get rid of them.
Yeah, just hold.
I just assume that eventually they'll come back.
That's right. Eventually they will come back.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, isn't that like the stock cycle rebirth?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I locked in the loss. I paid $7. I will say to a company that, Etrada, something,
rhymes with defrayed.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Gotcha.
I did feel defrayed at that point. I don't know what that phrase means, but I felt defrayed of a defrayal. And they're actually very kind and professional there. And the person was very apologetic. And I said, hey, what do I do with these holdings? He's like, well, for $7, we will take those off your hands. So I believe that they have an amazing portfolio of worthless stocks that probably at some point, some of them do turn around.
I would suspect that call was probably recorded for training purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been the focus of some training sessions.
I think so. Like, Paul actually bought that guy's stock for seven and...
Guy paid.
Yeah. I'll probably got a bonus. Yeah. They're excited about Paul's work.
Yeah, they gave him a whole bunch of movie pass shares.
Yeah. This guy's seeing free movies to his heart's content.
Yeah, and while this whole process played out and I was losing my stock, I would continually text the guys and say, here's the next, worst thing that's happened to me. And I would get responses from Adam from the theater. Like, hey, don't interrupt my movie.
Yeah. Seriously, I'm on my fourth movie today. Right. And it's not like I'm cheating going theater to theater. I'm paying every time.
I go back out.
I walk out. I walk out and I make sure that
I want to make sure you record this usage. Yeah. I know you're gathering data.
I'm not stealing from my theater.
Yeah.
I'm stealing from Jamie.
We've noticed middle-aged men seem to watch a lot of lunchtime movies. Right. We should focus in workplace dramas.
Dan, which company was it that you had to pay for a reverse split?
I don't even fucking remember the ticker.
That wasn't too long ago. I remember you ended up calling TD Ameritrade and screaming at him. I had to talk you off a ledge. Yeah. You were ready to go.
They didn't warn me. It was the same instance where like I had one or two shares of the fucking company and they charged me like the $30 fee, and I think that I had $50 worth of stock. I was like, you can't, what? You can't charge me more than the fucking,
So there's literally a picture of Dan and me on their wall.
Yeah.
So with the disclosure that, you know, all investment advice has risk to the consumer and, you know, you should read the prospectus before making any investment choices. What do you guys like right now?
Oh, we don't read any of those prospectus.
I have never recommended reading a prospectus.
Okay, good.
We just look for momentum at this point.
What do you like as far as something to invest in now?
Right now, I think we're both pretty heavy in BlackBerry.
Yeah, I like BlackBerry too.
Let me pull up
the technology play with their how they're working with the automated car thing.
Yeah,
the autonomous car world that BlackBerry.
Oh play. Yeah. All their security software. Yeah. They got like three different deals that came up.
I like that.
Yes, I do too.
Jamie and I both looked at each other and we're like, wait, are they messing with us? Or are they?
No, it's not a phone company anymore. That's what a lot of people think.
Yeah.
Because they're the only one that like the government will work with. They still get a whole shitload of contracts. Like they've been beaten down into the dirt, but they're ripe for a turnaround.
Yeah.
That does seem like
typical, I like BlackBerry too.
Typical government.
And I still like, and I mentioned NIO earlier, NIO. I still like that play long term. It's going to be a long term.
I'm afraid of Chinese stocks at this point. And I think
that's wise.
Especially with the rulings that came out not too long ago that said that if they don't conform to our reporting standards, then they're going to get delisted.
Yeah. I think it's fair to be, but I think there's value in that fear. So I think if it goes, if you price in that fear or that risk, then I think there is some value still in those stocks. But so I like, Roblox, I like, obviously, that's not really going to be a huge play like Airbnb right now. None of these are going to go. I mean, these are kind of long holds. None of these are your 1 year 100%ers. But I think that over time, I like both those companies a lot. There's another one I love out of San Francisco, Cloudflare. Have you seen these guys? Net.
No. Is the symbol NET?
Yeah, so they're kind of like they're like an Akamai play, which is like they're a content pusher, and something like 85% of internet traffic runs through Cloudflare, and it's a company you've never heard of, but they're a huge player. They went public about 2 years ago at 20. It's now trading at like 120, and I think it's still going up. So I like NET.
Yeah, volume's I'm looking at their stock chart right now.
Yeah.
Looks like they're slowing down a bit, though.
Yeah, they definitely are, but it's been a solid performer, and I think it's one of those things that if they're making the right bets, and if it does get any kind of multiple, like an Akamai multiple, then there's still a lot of room to go up. If you look at those, most of the analyst stuff on it is still, well, mostly some of the analyst stuff is a little bearish, but if you look at the people who are giving you target numbers, the target numbers are like one.
I don't look at those anymore.
Because they're all bullshit,
like,
right?
Yeah, well, the more that me and Dan are learning, the more it seems like that these guys are just coming out with numbers to try to make retail sell their stock or buy it.
I think that's absolutely right. I think, the more I see, the more I absolutely believe that's true. And I also think that it's a lot of tea leaf reading. You know, even if they're not doing market manipulation, they don't know
what they're doing. Right. You want to know what that stock is worth. It's worth $127.70 right now.
Yeah.
Or $123.24.
Yeah. And at the same time, if they were really good at...
They'd be investing, not writing...
Exactly. You'd be writing a hedge fund.
Those who can't do...
No, that's true.
Those who can't write the reports. Those who can't write the reports appear on CNBC.
That's right.
How come no psychic has ever won the lottery? That's right. Basically the same thing.
It's like having the power of invisibility, but you can't see nothing because you ain't got no retina.
Like, if you have a hedge fund where you have to have $150 million in order to participate in it, that's a guy that I think maybe and he's done incredible over the last 3 years. Like, that's a guy who maybe knows what he's talking about.
Okay, I'm starting a new segment. When we guest on somebody's show about money, Jamie's uneducated money take.
Yeah, well, here comes Jamie's uneducated money take.
The whole purpose of hedge funds is to lose money.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Because they all seem to lose money.
They don't.
Yeah, I think they do.
You should maybe start a show called Financial Ineptitude.
Yeah, they don't. Initially, hedge funds were created to be a hedge.
I guess. Wait a minute. You want to write for us?
Hold on. Yeah, right. Wait a minute. I'm going to start a new podcast called Buy and Hold My Beer. for lousy investment advice. For
lousy investment advice.
I feel like we'd be competing in the same market.
Yeah, way to steal our show formula, man.
Yeah, what are you guys doing? Are you guys buying any crypto?
I have some crypto. I signed up with the Coinbase account.
Yeah.
I think I picked up some Cardano.
Yeah.
And Mana, I think it was.
You gotten any of those free things that they throw out?
I get a whole bunch of them. I just started converting them to Ethereum, though, because that's the one I really want.
Yeah. I totally think that it's Ethereum and Bitcoin and
the
everything
else
is trash.
The free stuff that they give you for Mana comes from heaven.
Easy.
And it's very filling.
I think that Ethereum and Bitcoin is the only real play there.
Well, yeah, everybody that we talk to, it seems like Ethereum is the thing that like all these other shitcoins are based on.
And if you look at the NFT market, the currency they're using in that whole NFT market in general is Ethereum.
Mm-hmm. I just saw on Instagram that I could have bought a Gary V NFT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally could.
Yeah. What is Gary V?
Gary V's an Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a yeller.
He's a yeller and a motivator.
Yeah, he's supposed to be.
Is he like Kramer?
Yeah, he's similar to Kramer with a motivation tech.
And less investment advice.
Yeah, less investment advice, more like life coaching.
You need to move. You should stop listening to your parents and get the apartment.
Don't go to college.
College isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
I feel like more people need to hear that.
Yeah, I think that's
probably. Well, that's why he has a lot of followers.
He does. He has a lot of
and
Should we ask him some of the questions that we got prepared for him?
Sure.
Yes.
All right. So one of our favorite investment movies is Trading Places. So I kind of based kind of like a lightning round free for all kind of thing, like you guys like to do with your guests.
Yeah, nice.
So I'm going to reference something from the movie and then ask you guys a question based on that. So have you guys seen Trading Places?
Yes, this is Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. So the plot's about how anyone from the street can basically do Dan Aykroyd's job. So which of the three of you do you think would be the most easily replaced by a smooth talking grifter?
Well, as soon as you said which one of us would be the most easily replaced, both of them immediately were thinking of me.
Not true.
That's not true. Honestly, I think you are most easily replaced with the free, but the grifter doesn't get you. We wouldn't get there with me. I think Jamie and I are in the more the grifter category.
And I would disagree.
I'm the grifter more than you.
I was thinking most easily replaced from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
The only person who needs to stay on the show is Jamie because he's the one that does all the editing stuff.
Yeah, we can't replace
you. Yeah, you really have to have that guy.
You're the best.
Dan, right?
Yeah. Everybody loves him. Yeah.
So that's from a technical standpoint, he brings the most.
Yeah.
I only learned audio editing just so Kyle couldn't kick me off the show.
That's good call.
It's a self-preservation move.
It is. It's a self-preservation move.
Yeah. I tried to learn investing, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
Luckily, he learned editing.
One of us is going to have to learn how to push buttons. The other one has to know shit.
I do like the idea, though, of we show up, because there's three of us, but we've got four seats at our table. So I like the idea of we come in, and there's just this guy sitting at the table.
Okay.
All right. Well, there's a lot of hobos in Atlanta.
I feel like
you guys can make that happen.
We can take the concept. Let's do an episode where we all send a replacement for the episode. And see what those three people sound like.
Yeah.
All at once?
Yeah, all at once.
All at once.
We say,
You play the role of Adam.
You play, right, for the episode.
Yeah. Are you going to give him a script or just let him wing it?
Nope.
No.
We'll hit record, set him in the room, and
have at it.
Now, unfortunately, Jamie still has to do the editing.
Yeah, you'd still have to edit, obviously. And you'd still have to book the guest. But
the only thing I would add is you have to not tell the others that everybody's doing it. So the person replacing you thinks they're just filling in for you.
They're with the other person.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Right.
They think they're the only fill-in.
Right. It's all strangers, but they don't know that the others are strangers.
I want to hear the show.
I do too.
Post a note on the board that says hit record when you're ready.
You're ready.
I'm worried though that we'll be like Drew Bledsoe of the podcasting world because they're going to come in and they're just going to be better.
Well, that's just demoralizing. Yep.
Yeah, that's not. Well,
the risk you take.
So the good news is I am like an NFT horse. I am winning races in my hypothetical right now. Right?
Maybe.
You
Well,
only at the certain distance, though.
Right. Only
right.
20, yeah. 2,200 meters.
The approximate 40-minute podcast.
Know your lane.
Distance. Yep. I'm crushing it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next question.
Yes.
All right. Dan Aykroyd, Winthorpe is his name in the show. He receives help from Jamie Lee Curtis after loses his job, house, everything. Which of the three of you are most likely to need a prostitute's help at some point in the future?
So we can answer this easily because none of our wives listen to this show.
Yeah, it's
a and good not just this show. No, they listen. They probably listen to your show. I mean, our show. I don't mean this show. Yeah, I meant our show. So yeah. If they see Bobcast, if they probably listen to your show. They see Bobcast show up, and they're like, I don't know.
We're going to skip that episode.
Yeah,
we'll leave a note in the description to tell the wives to move
right,
on.
Right, wives. No wives, yeah. No wives. Yeah.
There's no prostitute talk here.
Two bulls is really going downhill.
That's a very interesting question.
Who is most likely to need a prostitute's help in the future?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see. I feel the pain of our guests because that is a very deep question. It's supposed to be a lightning round. We're supposed to answer it quickly, but that's very difficult to do.
Yeah. I think it would be, and I it's definitely you.
Why is it me?
Because
first of all, you needed not speak. So remember that whole thing about the first person who speaks loses? That was a you question offered. You owned it. He could have been saying me.
Yeah. Oh, when he said you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did mean you.
I mean, there was direct eye contact. They can't see that, but yeah, there was direct eye contact. I meant
other Jamie.
Unmistakably direct.
No, so let's just call a spade a spade. AI will replace you in like 15 minutes. Right? AI will be able to do all the editing shite that you do. Wait,
are you saying that you want to bring in a prostitute to do the editing of our podcast?
No, buddy. I'm just saying... No. You will find yourself on the street and homeless in about 5 minutes, and you will need the help of a prostitute.
If you are saying that there are both high-end escorts who side hustle as podcast editors?
No. What I'm saying is, much like in the movie Trading Spaces, where they just basically kicked him to the curb and put him out on in the street, like when the AI comes in for the editing...
Wait a second.
I'm just saying you get kicked to the curb.
A euphemism for prostitute?
This is the first time I've heard Jamie Lee Curtis referred to as a high-end prostitute.
Yeah, some people call it Lady of the Evening. Other people call it podcast editors.
Oh, man, I've had some awkward conversations with you.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's all you are.
Oh, you didn't know what people were asking you for?
You're a very low-paid escort.
So that guy at the truck stop was asking me if I was a podcast editor. That's why he whipped out his dick.
That's exactly right.
Why are you giving me your hotel room key?
And he actually probably was ready to pay you more than what you're making now on the podcast.
Oh, guaranteed.
Well, that's for damn sure.
Good news, guys.
Yeah, because not many prostitutes are like, okay, wait, how this means that I can do what? I can have a bunch of monthly fees for different services. I spend time on the podcast.
No.
And you don't pay me anything.
No. So if we're just sticking with the euphemism example, they basically say, this is what you get, or you can go behind my paywall.
That's right.
prostitutes have the ultimate paywall?
Yeah, they're the ultimate Patreon.
Yeah. No. You are definitely paying extra for that. Yeah.
Right.
No. Yeah, that's
subscribers only. Right?
Yes. We're going to give you just a clip.
Yeah.
AKA, just the clip.
Yeah, just the clip. We're getting just the clip.
I think the website OnlyFans is based on this entire philosophy.
Well, Dan, I think they segued into your question that you prepared since they're talking about their spouses.
Uh-oh. Yeah. When Winthorpe, Dan Aykroyd, loses his job in his house, he also loses his fiance. Which one of you, and this is a dark question, I know, but which one of you would be most likely to lose your spouse if you lost your job and status? Yeah, very dark.
Interesting.
I think I'm going to answer that I think it would be Bendel, but I don't know that it would be that she left him. I think that Bendel might just get distracted and just decide that he's,
I think that's not true at all. I think Kelly is already basically, if there's not a lot of love in that marriage, I mean, a lot of love in that marriage, you're not putting up with that guy. His guy in this lifestyle is not easy.
Relatively speaking, comparative loss of status, it's when you're low on the totem pole, right. It's hard to go lower.
Right. She's not good. She puts up with Jamie. Him being homeless and without money is not that much.
You can literally step from my spot directly to the ground.
Yeah.
Safely. Like, you need not, there is
there is very little in terms of losses. I think
Jason kicked me to the curb in a halfpenny moment. Like, it would be Gandhi. I'd be so quickly gone. If I don't provide, oh my God. If I'm not the provider for that house, I have no value.
I was at an event yesterday. And the person referred to their ex-spouse, as their husband.
Oh.
And I thought that was a pretty clever line.
That's like when I call Lisa my first wife.
Was that?
She hates that.
Was that self-prophecy? Like, she thought of that pun and had to get divorced just so she could use it?
No, she wound up saying my husband, or as I now call him, my husband. So since the story was being told to now, she's.
I just
made change in status.
If you think of a pun as good as that, that's worth destroying a marriage over to be able to use it.
Probably.
I would certainly claim it in the proceedings.
Oh yeah.
You get no rights to my husband pun.
I think I don't want my wife to listen to this. She likes puns. All right, last question.
The husband is actually for sale as an NFT.
Oh, it is an NFT. It's for sale.
That's what I named my horse.
Yeah, I have a digital horse.
All right.
Called husband.
At his lowest, Dan Aykroyd is dressed as a Santa Claus. He steals salmon out of a dinner party, and he's sitting on the subway. He pulls it out of his coat, drags it through his beard, and then just munches on it. What's the most hobo-esque thing you guys have ever done?
I don't know where they found it, but I think that Kyle and Dan have a very low impression of us.
Oh, that's
what do you mean? Yeah, hobo-ish thing? That's a very good. No. These are all.
They're reading the room well.
I can answer first if it makes you guys feel better.
No, don't.
Okay. So all right.
Before you go any further, you are getting, as hosts of your own show, what it's like to share a show with the other Jamie.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It ain't easy.
Yeah. It's periodically he throws these elbows.
Yeah, and he just want to put a
that are sharp
and just like and, I he took all the revolvers out of the room so I couldn't blow my head off. But
because it's literally most hobo-esque thing.
So my most hobo-esque thing. I've spent the night in an ATM room. You know, like those bank rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I've fallen asleep in there and spent the night there.
Like at an ATM.
Yeah. When I was in college,
like a kiosk
in DC, it was cold on the walk home. I was very intoxicated and I got into one of those little rooms and it was heated and I didn't want to move.
Also unlikely to be murdered because it is on camera. Because,
yeah. And also you have to have a bank card to get into the room.
So if you're going to be murdered, murdered by a fellow account holder.
So it wasn't really a hobo movie. It was basically an apartment provided by Bank of Boston.
When I got lost in New York City on New Year's Eve, I got separated from the rest of the group. I ended up having to sleep at Grand Central Station.
That's actually really cool.
That's actually pretty good.
That's like elite hobo.
No, that is. If you're going to sleep
in my Navy dress blues though, so it wasn't quite as.
Better.
I was looking really good.
What was it? what is it called? Ship week? Crew week?
No, we just took a weekend trip.
Yeah.
Jumped on a train from Norfolk. Went up there to watch the ball drop.
Yeah, but ship week is what you're talking
about. That's literally like a hobo bucket list to sleep in
Grand Central Station.
Yeah, that's great, actually. Yep. That's significantly better than
Do you think there are times when hobos are gathered and they talk about their dreams for the future?
Well, yeah, I think so.
What's on your bucket list?
I mean, what else are you going to talk about?
He's like...
Do you think if that you borrowed somebody else's bucket, you would have to do their list?
Possibly.
I don't know if you'd want to pull it out of there.
When you're homeless, does a bucket take on a different meaning altogether?
Okay, so that's not going in the direction that anybody would want to go.
That's true.
But I'm thinking of the fact that probably, and this is a very Gary Vee thing to say.
Yeah, here it comes.
The life you live may in fact be someone else's bucket list. Mm. So when you're thinking like, maybe I don't have the gratitude for the things I have in my life, you're living somebody else's bucket list.
That. Sleeping over at Grand Central Station overnight.
This is what you get on the podcast because
we get deep. Bendel goes
very deep, and me, I'm focused on. All right, how many uses for the bucket can we list?
That's beautiful, Jamie. I like how.
Well, you can use it as a bathroom and a lunch pail, but don't do it in that order.
Excellent point. Yes,
you got to commit to one or the other.
Lunch.
One
first.
You can always go
eat your lunch first, and then you get rid of your lunch.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Right.
And then you get a new bucket.
It's fine.
Oh, look at that rich man over there. We're getting a new bucket every time he shits on it, Mr. Richie Rich.
Yeah. Every time. Exactly. He's got look a at new high bucket. Society. Look at Johnny Buckets over there.
He's living on the street, but every
Charlie time. Big Potato over there.
Charlie Big Potato with his extra bucket.
Yeah.
Do you think their bucket has to do with their status? Like if you get a 5-gallon bucket, which is a little pail, like a mop pail.
Interesting.
Or somebody goes to Firehouse.
Is your bucket gold plated?
No one has a gold plated bucket. Come on, man.
That's a myth.
Yeah, right. That's an urban legend.
Yeah, there's no hobo unicorn.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Dan, I think we're hitting close to an hour.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. Anything else? Oh, we should find out where we can. Yeah, why don't you guys tell everyone where they can find you? Let you do some like actual promo stuff, you know, like responsible hosts.
Social media on at Hobo Buckets.
Or gold-plated buckets.
Gold-plated buckets.
Gold-plated buckets. That's Instagram. Twitter is Hobo Buckets. Hobo Buckets.
Yeah, GPB.
And Instagram is gold-plated buckets.
GPB. Gold-plated buckets.
Yes, we are at Bahcast across most social media forums, and you would think that's spelled B-A-H-C-A-S-T. It is not. It is B-H-H-C-A-S-T.
Right.
And you can find us at podcast.bahcast.com.
I got to ask you, how long did it take you to start spelling out your name when you were directing people to find that? Because we had twobullsinachinashop.com, and we just, like, 2 months ago started saying the number two.
Oh.
Yeah.
It took us a while to figure that one out.
I would tell you I don't ever do it. Jamie does it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever do it. I assume that...
Yeah, we find it offensive.
Yeah, I just assume that it's easier to search... You know, my regular name, and then it would, you know, drag you to the content that I'm
I think everybody knows it's BHH. And B-H-H. It's annoying when you do it, but we're not going to, but you edit, so that's, we'll keep you around.
If you don't know that Bahcast is BHH, then, I mean, we don't even want you listening to our show.
Yeah, you ain't no cheap.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll edit out the explanation.
Yeah. We don't want, you know,
it's cooler without
the retail traders of the podcast world to be like, by the time you found us, all the money's already been made.
Yeah, exactly. Brown bags. We've
already sold out.
Yeah, brown bags of cash, baby.
All right, Dan, take us home.
All right, folks. Hey, thanks for joining.
Okay, so hold on. Wait.
Whoa. Hijacking the outro. No, go ahead.
That's right. Okay, wow. But listen.
That's impressive.
Before you take us home, I would like to say I really enjoyed being a guest on the show.
Yeah, you guys have been great.
Yeah, this has been fun. You didn't die? Which was part of the list.
Oh, God, I have to edit this out.
What?
Oh, sorry. This was a terrible experience.
Praise? No, we don't allow praise. Sorry.
Since when?
This has been the worst experience.
God damn it.
I participated in this show over objection.
Yes. And I now have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And here's the crazy part about it. I'm not even actual Jamie. I took $15 to sit in on the show.
You're that imposter guy.
I'm not even on the actual show. So this has been a great experience for me. I don't even know what I'm doing here.
I'm actually other Jamie.
Yeah, wait, do we get anybody from the podcast?
Well, this is really Adam. It's really Adam, but they didn't tell me that they were going to do this shit tonight. Annoying.
And on that terrible bombshell.
It's been a great time, guys.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Yeah, we're so glad that you guys came over and we got to hang out for a bit and talk stocks with you and nonsense too. As Kyle can attest, those are two of our favorite things.
Right on.
And we're glad you, the listener, has joined us.
You did.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Well, yeah, Kyle, and by the way, we are really selling. I'm gonna sell you a horse so you can run around.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, folks, we're going to be coming back at you soon, no doubt.
Yeah, we're going to sneak over the outro.
We're going to just close the doors on this madness right now. We'll see you then.
Just turn the lights off, Dan. Just turn
them off. Until next time, happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.